Lord, we do thank you for your word, and as we look at it now, we pray, Lord, that it may become real to us, and help us to listen carefully, and to really take in what you have to say to us. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Amen. A little riddle. You're the engineer of a train. There are 36 people on board. At the first stop, 10 get off and 2 get on. At the next stop, no one gets off, but 5 get on. At the third stop, 4 get off and 2 get on. So are you ready for the question? What's the name of the engineer? Any offers? Well, my opening words were, you're the engineer. So that little story, a little silliness really, shows how difficult it is to actually listen carefully. Now, what wife has not experienced her husband mumbling, oh yeah, while she's talking, you know, his mind is, well, miles away. One husband apparently dropped his newspaper, looked directly into his wife's eyes and gave her his full attention while she was speaking. Stop it, she snapped. You're deliberately listening just to confuse me. Now in our passage tonight, we're told to consider carefully how we listen. And that links to the parable of the sower that we looked at last Sunday evening. The way people listened to and applied the word was critical. The seed, which was fruitful, heard the word and retained it. And it's no accident that this passage follows on. Luke was careful to make sure there was continuity in what he was writing. So tonight's parable or picture, call it what you will, has many of the same truths restated. Now just before I start, I'm going to be using an awful lot of quotes. So to make it easy, I don't want you to look them up. Hopefully they will appear on that screen there so we keep the continuity going. So I'd like us to consider the light that Jesus is talking about in these three verses under three headings. Firstly, the light that needs bearing, and we see that in verse 16. Secondly, the light that reveals, and we'll look at that in 17 and 18. And thirdly, the family of the light, and we'll see that in 19 to 21. So what we see in our verses this evening, firstly the light that needs bearing, is God giving light. So what light is he talking about here? That's the obvious question, isn't it? Well, if we look at the context, in the parable of the sower, he was talking about how people hear and receive the word. The word was the seed, and that's planted into people's hearts. And that seed produces fruit. So here, the light that he is referring to is the light of his word. Psalm 119, verse 105 said this, and it's what our song was about, isn't it? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the lamp, the light that Jesus is referring to here specifically is the word. His word is what brings light to our lives. So then where does the light originally come from? Well, John 8 verse 12 says this, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus himself is the light of the world. And you see this truth throughout the Bible, from start to finish. Even in the book of Revelation, there's this interesting quote. In 21:23, it says that the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So in the new heaven and earth, there is no sun. Why? Because Jesus himself is that light. We also find the same truth expressed in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel 2, verse 29, David says, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light." So it's important to realize that the light of his word comes from him who is light. His very nature is that of light, which reveals his truth. His truth leads us to what true life is all about. And so if you want to experience life, real life, you have to listen to his truth, which comes from a God of light. And God has revealed himself to us through his Son. So not only is Jesus a lamp, but we too are seen in the Bible as lamps. Firstly, John 9 verse 5 says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But what happens when Jesus ascended into heaven? Who is the light now? Matthew 5, 14 to 16, he says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So what is the purpose that God has created us for? It's to have a light. And that light is to be displayed on a stand. It's not to be hidden, it's not to be covered up. That would be ridiculous. There's no point in lighting a candle and covering it up. You light a candle or a lamp so that it may light a room. And as Jesus said here, so that those who come in can see the light. So the purpose of him giving the light of his word to us is first that we will be light bearers. Now do you see yourself as a lamp in this world? A lamp that has been lit by the light of the world to display or reveal his light to this world. Is that what you do? Are you hiding your light under a bowl, or are you letting your light so shine? Hopefully the latter, as that is where we are going to find true life. Sometimes we struggle with this a bit, don't we? You know, I don't want to say anything, and if I do, I might upset someone. Or I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. A number of Christians feel embarrassed. What will people think of me? And so it goes on. Well, we need to remember that this is the reason that God has created us. That's the reason why he saved us. He wants us to bear his light to his world. He wants us to demonstrate by our lives what it means to be a Christian. That's what Jesus meant here when he said there, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works." That they may see the way you live your life and they will glorify God. So we are to be honest. We are to love others. We're to be good neighbours. We are to care for our families. We are not to be short-tempered. We're to be patient with each other. We're to share the gospel. We're to invite friends, family and neighbours to come to church with us, or maybe some of our meetings. So the question for each one of us is, do our lives shine? If not, we need to do something about it. So that's the light that needs bearing. Moving on to the second purpose of the light that Jesus gives us, it's the light that reveals. Notice there in verse 17. Nothing is secret that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. This is the second purpose of the light that he gives us. Not only that we will be light bearers, but that we might have greater revelation of his truth continually in our lives. Remember what Jesus taught his disciples about why he was teaching in parables. And that was back in verse 10 of our chapter. He said, so that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So let's take that understanding and apply it to the parable of the lamp. Nothing is concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. He's telling the disciples that you are going to have a continuous revelation that comes from my light, of greater truth, of greater understanding, of every secret, of every mystery of the kingdom of God. In other words, there is to be a continual process of growth. Now, is that not what should take place in each of our lives as believers? Every time we open the Bible, God is teaching us new truths. He's reminding us of old truths, giving us new applications of old truths, and he's making it very clear what he wants to do in our lives. That is the purpose of God giving his light, and that's what we should expect. I'm sure we've all had the experience of reading the Bible and not getting much from it. You know, it goes straight over our heads. We're miles away. I know I've had many moments like that. In many ways, it's a normal experience, but it's not good. Because a light continually shining should bring constant revelation. It should reveal to us where things maybe are not right in our lives and show us what we need to do to sort it out. That's the purpose of the Word. So when we have that experience, stop and say, Lord, help me get back on track. And as he reveals his truth to us, we will grow and mature as Christians. Remember, he wants us to be his light in this world. That's the point. So that we will grow in our light bearing. Our light will shine more strongly. Philippians 2:14-16 says this, do everything without complaining or arguing. It's a bit of an issue in the Philippian church. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. The Lord wants us to shine like stars and lights in this dark and crooked, perverse generation, and nothing much has changed, has it? To do that, we need to keep our hearts right, our relationships right. That's what enables us to continue to shine. Notice again, he says in verse 17 there, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. This teaches us then that not only will there be continuous revelation from his light to us, but one day there will be a revelation from us, of our hearts to him. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. One day, the Lord is going to expose the motives of each and every one of our hearts. He will reveal the truth of what is the reality. Where my heart is really at, where your heart is really at. That's the point of light. The light of God keeps nothing secret. It's constantly giving us instructions so that we can change. So that we can get our hearts to a different place than where they are at the moment. And then on that day, we can stand before him and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The Lord is going to praise us. Think about that. That's what Jesus said. One day he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because he knows our hearts. He knows what we have done, why we've done it. He knows the motivation in our hearts, because nothing is secret from him. He teaches this parable for a reason. And that's given in verse 18 there. And this is his point. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. This is a warning, a very clear warning, that everyone needs to sit up and take notice of. He says, consider carefully how you listen. Is not this not the same message as the parable of the sower? He talked to us there about four different attitudes of the heart, in other words, four different hearers. How do they hear? And only the last one bring forth fruit. So what does he mean here when he says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him? To help us with this, let's have a look at Mark, chapter 4, 23 to 25, where it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now it's the same parable in Mark, which also follows up the parable of the sower. But Mark gives us a bit more insight. So what's the key? It's the words, with the measure you use. In other words, what I hear, I have to apply. I have to do something with what I hear. And if I do, what does it say? He says, more will be given. This is the reason why many Christians are not mature. They just stop growing, because they're not applying what they are hearing. We have to do something with what the Lord gives us, or he's not going to give us any more. If we do not apply it, even that which you think you have will be taken from you, and that is a serious issue. If we want real growth in our Christian lives, we have to obey what he has told us to do. So we've looked at the purpose of light in our lives. Firstly, so that we can become light bearers that God wants us to be. And secondly, the light that opens up or reveals God's word to us, so that we can grow as Christians and our lights can shine more brightly. Lastly, we come to the light that leads to family. Luke now records a story that further teaches again the same truth that we have just gone over. And it records it here for a very specific reason, because it builds on it, it reinforces it. In verse 19 we read there, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Quite shocking words in many ways, aren't they? But the first thing to know is why Jesus did not stop what he was doing and go to his mother and brothers. Now it's important to note this, because if we don't understand, we may think he's been rude to his own family. He's not being rude. He understood why they were asking him to come out. Mark gives us the reason in chapter 3, verse 21. It says, when his family heard this, they went out to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. They thought Jesus was crazy. They thought that there was something mentally wrong with him. They wanted Jesus to come home with them so that they could take care of him. And that is why Jesus did not go to them. He did not respond, because he was absolutely fine. He was not crazy. He was not mad. In fact, far from it. Therefore, he's not being rude to them. But what Jesus does then in verse 21 is take the opportunity to describe what it means to be a true brother or sister in the family of a God. It's a phrase that we hear often, isn't it? But just think about it for a moment. We can be a part of God's family. That is truly amazing, isn't it? And Jesus tells us that the real family, the really important family, is a spiritual family. A family that is more important, it says there, than his biological family. He puts, where he says, brothers and sisters are those who put God's word into practice. So it's those who hear the word of God and do something with it. And he made this clear several times. Our priorities then should be clear. And there are just some verses here to reinforce it. Again, difficult verses in some ways. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So it's essential that we follow Christ and put him first. He should have the top position in our lives. He is number one. That is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. But does that mean your family is unimportant, your friends are worthless? Not at all. Do you know who you should love after Christ? It's your family. They are to be next. This is what is said in 1 Timothy. Children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. Why? For this is pleasing to God. And 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith. So why is Jesus making this point then? Why is he saying that keeping him first is so important? Why is our spiritual family so important? It's because our natural family and our closest friends have the greatest potential in stumbling us and bringing us to a place of compromise in our lives. If you want to look at an example of that, there's a classic example in 1 Samuel 2, in verses 22 to 30, and it's the story of Eli and his sons. Have a look at it when you get home. So hearing the word of God and obeying it is proof that we are in the family of God. That's what he's declaring here. It's not how many verses of the Bible we know or how well we can quote them. It's not how much we hear the word of God. It's not how often we come to church. It's whether we obey the word. That is what determines whether we are a true brother or sister in Christ. It's the only thing that determines whether we are a true brother or sister in Christ. So are you bearing the light? Is the light of God's word in you shining? Is it placed on that stand where all can see it? Or is it sadly under the bed where no one can see it? Are you allowing God's light, God's word, to reveal his truth to you? Is it shaping your life? Are you putting that truth into practice? Is your day-to-day life guided by the light? Is Christ truly your Lord and Master? Is Christ your top priority? Does he have the first place in our lives? If the answer to these questions is yes, then rejoice and know that you truly are in God's family. If the answer is no, could I urge you to do something about it? It's vital that you do. For to be outside of God's family has consequences that scarcely bear contemplating. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to be true bearers of your light. Show us opportunities where we can proclaim your word to those around us. And may your light shine in our lives, Lord, showing us where we need to get our hearts to, opening up your truth to us so that we can learn more of you and grow into full maturity as your followers, so that we too truly, Lord, can be numbered as one of your family, brothers and sisters in Christ. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.